I want to ask a question first. How many of you are lead extractors in the audience? How many of you do more than 50 lead extractions per year? How many of you do more than have done more than 500 extractions? How many of you are scared at every extraction that you do? So I'm an extractor by trade, and if you don't go into the procedures with some element of concern and fear, then I think there's something wrong. But let's talk about these lead systems and what the issues are. So my goal here is to tell you about transvenous leads. I love leads. I've grown up with old lead systems. I've tried everything from every manufacturer over the years. And we know that these are great boons to mankind, right? Really help our patients. But there are some problems that you can have with these leads. And this is a list of some of those issues that transvenous leads can produce for patients. They can fail. They can cause venous occlusion. They can cause or be part of a systemic infection process going on. You can have complications from implantation or revision of the leads. And also there is the risk that you undergo when you do an extraction on those patients. So why do leads fail? There are manufacturing issues. Now, engineers, and I'm sure there are engineers in the audience, engineers don't develop leads to fail. They develop leads to succeed. But despite all of the testing that goes on with the blood pool environment in the human body is different from the strain gauges and everything that are outside the body. So insulators can fail, conductors can fail, and there can be outright design flaws in leads that we recognize later on. There are patient issues. The stress of continuous 100,000 cardiac contractions per day puts a stress on the lead. Patients fibrose at the tip of the lead, causing exit block for problems with sensing and pacing. And of course, the blood environment is a hostile environment with all kinds of little bugs that get in there and white cells trying to degrade things and scar tissue developing and all kinds of things happening that can put a stress on the lead even further. Then there are operator issues as well. If you don't put the lead in properly, it can break. 2 medial an insertion, we know that from earlier subclavian type of sticks that we used to do in the past. Stresses from pocket, lead on can interaction, bends in the pocket, kinks in the lead, improper lead handling when you put it in, cutting it by mistake. When you do the generator change and open the pocket and move the lead, there's more chance to get a problem at that time as well. There might be microfractures in the insulation, microfractures in the conductor coils that then present themselves after you do the revision, pocket revision. But most of the defects are in the insulation. You can have many other kinds of problems as well, impedance issues, exit block, fractures of the conductors, and sensing failures. And these insulation defects that we see inside the transvenous lead system, inside the endovascular system, just tend to increase over the years. So the longer you get from implantation, the more chance to have problems with can-on-lead interaction, lead-on-lead interaction, and so forth that can cause problems. If you're a young patient, those are the people that I get the most scared about because they scar heavily and they embed their leads so heavily, they're the highest risk for extraction. The two age spectrums, the very old and the very young. But if you're a young patient below 40 years of age, your risk of breaking a lead like this lead is almost double that if you're 70 or 80 years old, probably because you're more active. You're out there doing things and the constant motion of the shoulder around that area and probably more, maybe more heartbeats too, could be. Bob Hauser put together some data looking at predictors of lead failure, ICD lead failure, looking at 3 centers, 1,000 of these leads, and looking at 4-year lead survival, about 87%, which is actually not really good, right? 87% lead survival rate. And the multivariate indicators for lead failure for endocardial leads was a younger age, a more active patient, female gender, maybe they do more work than we men do actually physically, and realistically, and cardiac disease. But if you look at the age, your hazard, your risk of breaking a lead decreases 3% for every 1 year of age. So as you get older, the risk gets less. As you're younger, the risk is greater for lead fracture. Also, ICD leads can lead to occlusion. Venography, if you do ICD generator changes and look at venographic studies, 9% of patients in this trial presented in 2004, this was just out of the blue, we're a new venogram, 9% had a complete occlusion of access to that site, and 1/4 of patients had some degree of stenosis, which may make implanting another lead more difficult later on, or even at that procedure. 65% to 67% had some obstruction in that venous system around the ICD lead. just with a pacemaker lead system, not even with an ICD system. And 17% of patients just had single lead and had increased risk of obstruction as well. So what are you going to do? If you don't extract, you're going to go to the other side. You're going to add to the lead burden in that patient. If you extract, you're going to put a new lead in, but it'll occlude around that lead again. Many of these patients are asymptomatic. You can take the lead out and make a conduit for reimplantation, but it just increases the complexity of the procedure to some degree. It's better to have open veins if you can anyway. And superior vena cava syndrome doesn't help anybody. We've taken care of a number of cases. Some of them you can dilate. Some you have to take the leads out and stent. People get symptomatic. And we're tending to see more of this now. And I think it's because leads are in longer in these patients that we're having them survive longer. They're living longer. So they tend to scar more. And the SVC tends to close more commonly. I'm just seeing a trend, an increase anecdotally in terms of SVC occlusions in these patients. The problem with the transvenous ICD system is that if you have an infection in the pocket, the leads are infected also because they're in the pocket. So in order to fix this, you have to take out the entire lead system endovascularly. And if that happens early on, a month out or 6 months out, that's not a big problem. But if it happens 5 years afterward or after a battery change, those leads can become very heavily fibrosed in, and it becomes a moderate or even high-risk lead extraction at that point. There is a risk to lead extraction. In early data published by Charlie Bird and others, looking at greater than 3,500 leads in 266 centers, a registry basically, the risk of extraction failure goes up 2 times with every 3 years of lead implant duration. And the risk of complications goes up 3.5 times per additional lead added to the patient. There's a 50% increase in need for powered sheaths, meaning more aggressive tools to take the leads out, per year increase in implant duration of the oldest lead. So as those leads are in for a longer time and patients scar, especially the young patient, they have a higher likelihood of having a complication or a difficult extraction. So I hope I've been able to give you some idea as to what some of the issues are with transvenous lead systems that we use today, the mechanical breakdown issues, the scarring, the extraction risk, the infection issues as well. We didn't even talk about dislodgements, but there are other things can happen as well. Like I said, I love leads. They're really cool things, but they may not be the best for your patient all the time to have an endovascular lead system. We know that these transvenous lead systems carry with them the potential for substantial complications. And in some situations, maybe more than we are thinking about now, avoiding the use of a transvenous lead for ICD patients may be preferable, especially in those that carry an increased risk of lead infection, lead failure through fracture or vascular occlusion. Thank you very much.